listening to Get Sports Radio.
I am Dan Claskins, and back with you here on the podcast, and happy to have week one in the books. Well, I guess you are. If it went well for you, I'm sure you're happy, but if you lost your first game, maybe you're not. The joys of football. Are there more head scratchers? We all thought the Patriots were going to roll the Chiefs. It didn't happen. I was all in on the Texans playing in the emotion of Hurricane Harvey. Didn't happen. Thought the Bengals, my hometown Cincinnati team, would actually continue to hand it to the Ravens. Didn't happen. A lot of things didn't happen in week one. A lot of things did, and I hope to give you my one more thing here over these next 10 or 15 minutes. And here's the way we are going to really get into some things here throughout the week on the podcast. In a traditional week, I'm going to check in during some Monday Night Football, offer some final takes on the week that was, look at some of the injuries, hand out a few game balls, our Game U Sock Award. We've been handing it out here at Get Sports Info for 15 football seasons. So used to be an article, Game Balls with Game U Sock, my guy Jim Humbert came up with years ago. We're going to adopt it here in podcast version. So definitely have some game balls. I have a Game U Sock, several to hand out, but I'm only going to limit it to one per week. And I'm going to tease you, make you listen to all of that to get to the very end, which will be my early look at the waiver wire for week two. I've got some names that I'm high on. I'll tell you those in just a minute. Let's get into some of the other things going on here. As I said, this week a little different because I'm actually going to take a little trip at the end of this week, so I will not be around. I'm going to be doing a Friday afternoon podcast weekly. This week I'm going to try to jam a short version of that in Wednesday night before I bust. And with me gone, I got to warn you too, I'll be a little slow to respond to Twitter. So if you got some tweets, I'll do the best to answer what I can. Probably won't get to all of them, honestly. I do like to talk fantasy, though. If it's not just lineup advice, I get more engaged there. You can tweet me, follow me, at Dan Claskins. And if you want my guaranteed lineup advice, if you really want my take and you want it to be guaranteed, I highly encourage you to check out my fantasy email coach service. It's available by going to GetSportsInfo.com. Go under the fantasy tab there and click on email advice. You'll get what you need to win this season by doing so. Also, check out my latest work at Pro Football Focus. Along with the Monday Night Podcast, I'll be cranking out my Stock Watch report. Some players on the rise, some sliding down, a few I think you need to have on your radar. A list of 10 there weekly, and as a member of the PFF Elite or Edge package, you can get to that article, my rankings, and so much more. Great content. Also, check out GetSportsInfo.com for my deal on PFF, and if you actually get it through that link, you can get my email service for free. So check that out. One of the names on my Stock Watch report this week you might be surprised with, because it's a veteran running back and a guy that not many of us were high on coming into the season. I ended up with a couple shares of him as a mid-round pick, but I certainly wasn't touting his horn. Not like I was this week, and that's Panthers running back Jonathan Stewart. I really think he's a guy that's stock is on the rise there. A lot of people wrote him off, but man, really good week one. He's not going to get a game ball today, but he had an 86.7 elusive rating. That was the second best mark of any running backs there at Pro Football Focus. Love what he did. The fact he got 18 carries, 65 yards, 80% of his yards coming after contact. He ran hard. I think there's a role for both him and McCaffrey. And he's just one of those names you got to check out. Check out my article there this week at Pro Football Focus. Just go to the fantasy tab. There's a reason it has been voted the number one single sports site by the FSTA now. 3 years in a row, hopefully, this season we'll keep that rolling. Let's get into some of the other stuff. The fact is, week one, it's in the books. I mean, I'm doing this as I'm watching the final week one game here late Monday night. We get the two Monday nighters in week one. Always love that. Can't get enough football. It's been a little disappointing. There were some disappointing games. A lot of the nationally televised games in particular were a little bit off to me. But nonetheless, here's the thing. No matter how good or bad your week was here to start the fantasy season, Don't overreact. Stay true to what you've worked hard on all summer. You've been listening to this podcast. You've been listening to others. You want to stay true to that and don't overreact. That is the big thing. And speaking of react, how about some instant reaction from this game we saw here tonight, the first Monday night game? And it was all Vikings, man. Vikings and Saints. And I figured in Minnesota, that Vikings defense, I was expecting it to be a tough night for the Saints. And it was for the most part. They got some garbage points. Ended up being 29-19 in that contest. But, you know, it was the big storyline was Adrian Peterson, his return there. He was a non-factor in this game. Not a lot of action at all for any of these running backs in the Saints backfield. I'm looking at Adrian Peterson, just 6 carries, 18 yards. Kamara, he got 7 carries for 18 yards. Ingram, 6 carries, 17 yards. So a lot of nothing going on there against a tough Minnesota front. Kobe Fleener did get the only touchdown. It was 4 Will Lutz field goals. Breeze, 291 through the air. I mean, on his butt, only sacked once, but pressure all day long, and it was pretty brutal overall for the offense. Michael Thomas, a guy that we weren't that high on this week because of the matchup, 5 catches, 45 yards. Kamara did get 4 for 20, 5 catches for 54 for Ingram, so they did offer some PPR value there. Peterson was targeted, but without a catch. Moving over to the good side of the ball, the real story here was the return of Adrian Peterson, but the fact that Dalvin Cook broke his rookie debut rushing record, franchise record there in Minnesota. He ran for 127 yards on 22 carries, ripped off a 33-yard run there towards the end that was spectacular, and looks to be the man. Did catch 3 balls. 3 of his 4 targets, 10 yards there. So he's just going to keep getting better. Stephon Diggs, huge game. 2 touchdowns, 7 catches. Adam Thielen, 9 catches, 157 yards. I just finished up my shares report in my 13 season-long leagues. The 2 wide receivers that I have on more shares of than either, 6 teams each, Adam Thielen, Golden Tate, PPR Gold, and they both delivered for me this week. Love Thielen going forward. Diggs, little touchdown heavy. He's not going to have this easy matchup every week, but he's certainly a receiver with some upside as well. Overall, really like the way Minnesota looks. Sam Bradford showed the part tonight, 346, 3 touchdowns. The other one going to Kyle Rudolph. He finished with 3 catches and 26 yards to go with that score. But should be interesting. We'll see how the Saints bounce back. They get the Patriots next week, and we'll definitely be interested to see what type of offense they can get involved there. Let's look at some injury news. Talk about the big one, obviously, here of several this week. But David Johnson, the top number one overall pick, as we're sitting here on Monday night, a lot of speculation. He could be headed to IR with a wrist injury. Getting a second opinion, the MRI did not come back as the team was hoping. They actually signed wide receiver running back DJ Foster, a guy that I have long been enamored with off of the practice squad there in New England. He went to Arizona State, so he's sort of a local guy. Definitely suggest to me that Johnson's headed to the IR. Kerwin Williams, he'll get a shot. Andre Ellington in that mix. I think it's going to be a mix of guys. I'm not running after any of them necessarily as must-have. We'll discuss them in the waiver wire at the end here of the podcast. But at the end of the day, David Johnson, if you're a David Johnson owner, this season didn't turn out the way you hoped. Certainly didn't turn out the way you hoped if you drafted Allen Robinson either. He's headed to the IR. Suffered an ACL injury in the Jags' blowout win at Houston. A surprising win nonetheless. But disappointing. Robinson in a contract year. Another guy I don't really have a lot of shares of. Was down on this passing offense as a whole. Laid off of him in rounds 3 and 4. But if you didn't, you're going to need an alternative. Not sure you're going to find it in Jacksonville. Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns will fill in. Danny Woodhead. Here's an interesting injury. Not. I mean, who would... Danny Woodhead. I mean, Danny Amendola. Kevin White. All guys get hurt here in week one. All very predictable. Woodhead carted off with a hamstring injury against the Bengals. It looks like a multi-week thing. We're going to have to wait to see how it goes. Terrence West, Buck Allen carrying the load until further notice in Baltimore. I mentioned Kevin White. He breaks a collarbone already on IR again. What a bust he's turning out to be. This one really is an injury-prone situation. Just bad luck when you break a collarbone. But nonetheless, Bears fans and the Bears organization not really caring at this point. White has been a huge disappointment after that high investment. And Andrew Luck How about this? Already here on Monday night, ruled out for week two. Not a surprise. The question is, will he come back in October even at this point? He's not even any closer to this situation. That Colts offense is a train wreck. Let's move along with some game balls. We'll hand them out each week along with our Game U Sock Award. We'll end with that, but let's... Yeah, we're going to take Thursday night game into consideration, what we've seen here on Monday night and everything. And, I mean, clearly at quarterback, the game ball probably deserves to go to Alex Smith, but he knocked me out of Survivor. So I'm going to ignore those four touchdowns and 368 he put up against the Pats on Thursday night. Instead, I'm going to give it to Matthew Stafford, who definitely showed the part. The best quarterback going on Sunday, the only one to break the 30-point fantasy mark. He did so by throwing for four touchdowns and really looked to be in sync for most of that game as the Lions took care of business as a home dog versus the Cardinals. My running back, I'm going to give out two game balls here. And obviously, we have to give one out to Kareem Hunt. We talked about him on episode 19 before, you know, Friday there, the first happy hour podcast of the season. But a buck 48 and a touchdown on the ground, five catches, 98 yards, and two through the air. Nobody else even sniffed that production. The other one, game ball, I'm actually going to give to the guy I was toting as my dud last week. And the other game I really missed on was I thought the Texans D was going to come out in the wake of Hurricane Harvey and lay it to the down to the Blake Bortles-led Jaguars. And I was wrong. The defense was terrible. It was actually the Jags defense that punched the Texans in the mouth. And it was the Texans quarterbacks that looked brutal here. And Leonard Fournette, I mean, overall, not a huge day in terms of efficiency. But 29 touches, 124 total yards. He hit 100 on the ground with the touchdown. Finished up there pretty good and certainly wasn't not a dud. Now, I did have him as my dud last week, but I projected him in my rankings at RB20 in a standard format and 21 in PPR, I believe. So it wasn't like I was totally avoiding him. I was just tempering my expectations, and he exceeded them in week one. He gets my running back game ball. I'm going to give another one out to Todd Gurley. Thought he looked pretty good with his 116 total yards and a touchdown. Not really great, but given his terrible season last year, just to see him actually have a promising week one, I'm not invested in the guy, but I like the way they look there. So let's go to some receiver game balls. And I think at that position, you know, Antonio Brown had the great game, but did not score a touchdown. We'll give him a game ball as he does what he always does, 11 catches, 182 yards, pulled in all of his targets, which was remarkable. Golden Tate, another great PPR day, 10 catches, 12 targets, 107 yards. Didn't score. The scores went to his teammate, Kenny Galladay, and the rookie is the one that I'm handing the game ball to here. Four catches, 69 yards, and two touchdowns. And tight end, Austin Hooper is the talk of the town, but guess what? He only had two targets. He just happened to catch both of them for big plays, 128 yards and a touchdown. But I think Jesse James actually outscored him at the position. The Steelers tight end, two touchdowns, six catches, 41 yards there. I don't like kickers, but we still give them game balls. And this week it was the Sebastian Janikowski replacement, Giorgio Tavecchio. Wasn't even in the Fantasy Pros ranker, so I couldn't even put him in the rankings on Sunday morning. But he did finish 4-4 on field goals, 2-2 on extra points, tying Greg Zuerlein with the week high there in 14 points. And that team defense, we talked about it before, how awesome the Jags were. They were, as were the Rams. They both get game balls for huge, huge performances, 20-plus fantasy points from each. My game you sock this week, there are plenty of those that could go around, but I'm going to stick it fat on Andy Dalton's foot this week. The Bengals quarterback, zero touchdowns, four picks, just 16 of 31 for 170 through the air. Had one of his worst performances as a Bengal, and he's had some brutal ones, so that's saying a lot. They get blanked by Baltimore to open up the season. Mr. Dalton, you're putting on my game you sock here for week number one. Let's wrap up with some quick waiver wire takes. I'll go position by position, tell you who I like the most, other guys that might be considerable. If he's available on your waiver wire quarterback, Carson Wentz needs to be gobbled up now. He's out there in shallow leagues, but really love what he's doing. He's available in about 60% of the leagues at Yahoo. I last looked. A deeper play, perhaps Jared Goff. Really like what Sean McVay did with him. Had seven passes over 16 yards, only 24 all last season. Goff is looking like a player with some upside. Now, in redraft leagues, I'm probably waiting and seeing on him, unless it's a deeper league. Certainly seeing his stock rise in dynasty formats. I think DeShone Kizer should also maybe be a guy you're looking at in that regard. The rookie looked pretty good. did finish top 10 among fantasy quarterbacks. That rushing yard's going to help, and he'll continue to get the opportunities. Job security looks pretty good there in Cleveland. At the running back position, obviously with the David Johnson injury, I know there's some buzz around the Arizona running backs. I'd rather have two rookies elsewhere. Tarik Cohen of the Bears, his dynamic speed, a difference maker. He's the reason Jordan Howard's stock is dropping. I think they're both going to be used, and Cohen offers some serious PPR upside in an injury-riddled Bears passing game right now. So let's give him the highest bid at that position. I think Chris Carson of the Seahawks has a chance to win that job. Eddie Lacy's not going to do it. Who knows if Thomas Rawls is going to get healthy. The rookies looked good. We're going to look at that final snap count. And I mean, Carson, 27. Procise 15, Lacy 7 out of the 49. So we'll see when Rawls gets back how that's affected, but he's a guy to target. And I do think you could still make a play at Shane Vereen if you're desperate in PPR leagues. He's obviously going to have a role with Paul Perkins being so brutal. At receiver, Kenny Galladay, the top pick here. He probably was already drafted. His buzz did sort of drop a little bit there at the end. But two touchdowns. He's going to be involved in the red zone. He has the size they need there in Detroit. I like him. I also like what I saw from Nelson Aguilar. If he's still out there, he's worth a roll of the dice. And then you can always attack the injury situations in either Chicago or Jacksonville and try to scoop something up between Mark Kiesley, Allen Hurns, Kendall Wright, and Deontay Thompson. I'm personally staying away there. At tight end, Charles Clay, love the way he's getting involved. He's probably the best waiver wire option out there. Obviously, you can look at Jesse James, who got the game ball as well. So that pretty much wraps up my early waiver wire week look. I'll have more stuff. I'll be back with my complete week two breakdown. I'm going to do it a couple days early this week. Normally, I'll be doing it on Friday afternoon. I'm going to check back in on Wednesday night. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter at Dan Claskins. Check out all my articles and rankings at Pro Football Focus. GetSportsInfo.com is the home of the podcast. You can subscribe to the Get Sports Info podcast on iTunes, Twitter, SoundCloud, Google Play, or Stitcher. Always find it at GetSportsInfo.com. And until I'm back next time around, I'm Dan Claskins. Thanks for listening to the Get Sports Info podcast.